Well, good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
Well, how are you this morning?
Grateful.
Awesome. I have to tell you, last night I was went and saw Kevin Kline at the Mabel Tainter. It's the first time I was in the theater. It was last night. What a wonderful little place. What a wonderful place. But this has to do with what I asked you how you are, which you are.
Grateful.
At one point in his talk towards the end, he spoke about, he was born with his left arm was shorter than the other, with four fingers on it, and so he was dealing with various challenges throughout his life. Then later on, he was in an accident which took the use of his right arm. And I didn't know this about the guy, but talk about not letting him get himself down. But he talked about towards the end, as he was going through the different things of his life, he says he went through three stages of prayer. And the first stage was, gimme. You know, God, I want, you know, how many have been there? How many are still there? Okay. But in the second stage, he says, is the, God, if you help me out of this, I'll do anything for you. How many have been there? Okay, you've been there, okay? Well, it was actually following his accident and his injuries and going through the things of his life and even making choices about whether he wanted to go on or not. He chose to go on, move on. And at that point in time, his prayers became one of gratitude, of gratefulness. So when we say that, know that, it keeps us moving on. All right? Well, we gather here today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, and we can't sing this sitting down, so you got to stand up. And by the way, if I would really encourage you just to put the hymnal down. You don't need it, because there's one word in the whole song that changes. And I'll tell you what that word is when we come to it, okay? So you just follow me. I see a lot of hymnals still up. Boy, we have crutches, don't we? Here we go. No, that's okay. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We're dancing, we are dancing. Hold it, hold everything. We are dancing and we're sitting. We are dancing in the light of God. Allow yourself to move a little bit. It's okay. I know we're Lutherans, but it's okay. Okay? Hit it. We are dancing in, singing the light of God. Just wave a magic in the light of God. We are dancing in the light of God. We are dancing in the light of God. We are dancing. We are dancing. We are dancing in the light of God. We are dancing. We are dancing. Whoa, we are dancing in the light. We're praying. We are praying in the light of God. 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 We are praying. We are praying. We are praying in the light of God. We are praying. We are praying. Whoa, we are praying in the light of God. We're singing. We are singing in the light of God. 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 We are singing. We are singing. Whoa, we are singing in the light of God. We are singing. We are singing. Whoa, we are singing. We're marching again. We are marching in marching in the light of God. We are marching, we are marching, oh, we are marching in the light of God. Very good. Very good. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. I invite you to take a moment for your own self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins, heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's take a moment and share that peace with one another.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God,
let us pray. Almighty God, The resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and in the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
And good morning. The first reading today is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. The word of the Lord. In the psalm today is Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6, and to be read responsively. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Please stay. And just once again, we're going to do a little actions here. This is the last Sunday we can do these actions for a while. Because we put our hallelujahs away after today, because we're entering Ash Wednesday and our Lenten season. So, get your arms up. Holly, holly, holly. Clap. Now with your Luya. Holly, holly, holly. Luya. Holly, holly, holly.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I think they got it.
Holy Gospel this day is found in the Gospel of Mark, the ninth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Invite the kids to come up here this time.
Good morning. Come on up. Really? Katie? Katie, is it? Come on. There's Sophie, at least. Hi, guys. Come on. There's Maisie and Natalie. Hi. Come join us. So, what we just read today, what Pastor Randy just read. Hi, come on up. Yeah, a little scared. That's okay. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about being scared a little bit. So what we just read could be looked at in a lot of different ways. I think last year when we came up here, we talked about maybe what happened to Jesus, or maybe the fact that Moses and Elijah were there out of nowhere. Like, holy cow, what happened there? But today I want to talk about those three disciples that were with him. There was Peter, James, and John. They were the only ones, and they went up at the top of this mountain with Jesus. And were they a little bit scared when they saw Moses and Elijah? It says they were terrified. Terrified. I don't know about you, but I would be petrified. Do you know what that means? You know how that's different than terrified? No. Petrified really means scared so much you can't move at all. That you're just stuck like a rock. Petrified like a rock. That's what I would be, I think. I really would. Because these disciples had heard about Elijah and Moses. They'd heard stories about them. Kind of like us, we've heard stories about George Washington. Like, he was a leader in our past. But we've never met him. We never saw him, right? If we saw George Washington come walking down the middle aisle right now, would you be scared?
Yeah,
a little scared. A little scared. I would be petrified. I don't think I would be able to move or do anything. And yet, our three disciples, guess what they did? They tried to help. They tried to help. They said, "Oh, we see that you have these amazing people have come down, and Jesus is so special, and we're going to try to build some housing for you guys." They tried to help. huh, do you think that it would be very easy for you to help out if you saw, say, George Washington come walking down the aisle right now? Would you jump up and say, oh man, welcome, welcome, let's go build you a tent in the backyard? You think you would? Katie says, yeah, she would. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would. I just don't think so. I would be petrified. And they were scared, but they were still able to help. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That they were still able to help, even though they were scared. They knew what Jesus wanted them to do. Well, in this case, kind of. But they were scared, but they overcame their scared, and they were still trying to help. Man, I think that's a pretty good lesson for us. That even though we're going to have times in our life where we're really scared, like coming up and meeting new people, we're going to be really, really scared, but we're still going to have to try. Jesus wants us to try. Pretty cool. Let's go head back and stop being scared for a little bit. Thank you for coming and joining us.
I invite you to please pray with me. Most loving and gracious God, we give you thanks this day. We give you thanks this day for the vision of this mountain, this transfiguration, the vision of going up, and Moses and Elijah and the disciples. We also give you thanks this day for your coming down that mountain into our lives. So we give you thanks for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mountaintops. You can see a lot from the mountaintop, can't you? How many have been to mountains? How many have just kind of wondered and had an awesome awe experience when you go to the mountains? How many have been to Pikes Peak? Anybody here been to Pikes Peak? Man, when you go up there, you get to the top and you look, you can see just turn around and you can just see the whole panoramic view of this whole area, and it's incredible. Then you got to watch your brakes coming down though. Trust me, you got to watch your brakes coming down. But it's incredible. You kind of want to hang up on that mountaintop. Mountaintop, and that includes our experiences too. We have various experiences in our lives which we would call mountaintop experiences, spirits of great inspiration, of revelation, you might say, of transformation. And it would be nice to be able to stay there, but we don't, because the reality is that we need to come down. We need to come down from these things. These mountaintop experiences. You know, I think for a while Jesus takes his disciples with him up on this mountain. After the period of revelation and transformation, they come back down again too. Think of it. Jesus could have stayed there on that mountaintop. Perhaps he should have stayed there. After all, this transfigured state attended by Moses and Elijah and the three disciples, but it's much closer to the state of glory that Jesus deserved than what's coming. Yet he comes down. This is a turning point in the gospel story. For when Jesus comes down, he turns his face to Jerusalem, to his own death, his own crucifixion. But he comes down. He comes down into the stuff of everyday life. Down into the nitty-gritty details of misunderstanding, the squabbling, the disbelieving disciples. Down into the religious and political quarrels of the day. Gosh, does that sound familiar? Down into the jealousies and rivals, both petty and gigantic, that color our relationships. Down into the poverty and pain that are a part and parcel of our life in this world. Down. Jesus came down. So Why is this important? Why is it so important that Jesus came down? Well, first, because I think that's at the heart of the gospel. Jesus comes down. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, in the second chapter, says these words. He says, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Jesus' downward movement from his rightful place to embrace our lives, our world, our situation, is the essence of the gospel. Now, secondly, and maybe this is just as important, I don't know, but we look to Jesus as a model for our lives. So we want to become like Jesus, right? Isn't that kind of what we said? You know, we ask questions like, what would Jesus do? And all these things. And we ask, you know, how would Jesus respond to these situations? And you know what? No matter how hard we try to become more like him, it's hard and we fail. Because no matter how hard we try to be like Jesus, we know that we fall short. And as a consequence, we may feel that the most broken parts of our lives are the ones that keep us from being like Jesus. And therefore, those broken parts of our lives tend, at least in our hearts, in our minds, in our being, tend to keep us further from Jesus. But you know what? This isn't a story about our going up to Jesus or being like Jesus. It's a story about Jesus coming down. Jesus coming down all the way down into our brokenness, our fear, our disappointments, and our losses. And of course, it only gets more so as we will soon watch our Lord travel to the cross. There, embracing all that hard, difficult, and even despicable in life in order to have victory over death, that we might live in hope. That we might live in hope knowing that wherever we go, Christ has already been there. And where Christ is, now we will one day also be. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139. Look it up. I've told some people that. And one portion of that, in that psalm, it says, where can I go from your presence, or where can I flee from your... If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you are there. If I make my bed in the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and guide me. If I say darkness be come over me, and the darkness become night, even darkness is as light to you, for you are there. Look it up, 139. It's a psalm that's my go-to psalm. Where there's no place that I cannot be because Jesus has come down. Jesus has come down. Jesus' descent back down the mountain reminds us that we don't have to trade the hard parts of our lives from the God, hide the hard parts of our lives behind from the God we know in Jesus. For God, the Father, came to us in and through this incarnate Son precisely to be with us and for us through thick and thin, through the life and death. Indeed, God came in Jesus to be with us through death into life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. Came down that we may have life. Hallelujah, forevermore. Sing it with me. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. Hallelujah forever. He came to bring love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Hallelujah forever. He came to bring peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah, for He came to bring life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. Hallelujah, for why did He come? He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. Hallelujah forever. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah for one more time. Hallelujah forevermore. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. May we see, we'll receive our morning offering at this time.
Let the vineyard be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the sea, that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, light them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
And we pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to bring bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the ministry of the gospel proclaimed in word and deed, for congregations near and far, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the well-being of creation, for plants and animals, seas and skies, and creatures seen and unseen, that all may be guided by your Holy Spirit to be stewards of our earth, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For firefighters and police officers, attorneys and advocates, civil servants and corporate executives, and leaders of governments, that through their insight and patience, peace and justice prevail throughout the world. Let us pray. For all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, especially today we pray for Robert, Maxine, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon and Carolyn, Maxine, Ray, and Arnie, Sean, LaVon, Libby, Sam, that as Christ was transfigured in the mountains, sickness will be turned into health, loneliness into companionship, bereavement into consolation, and suffering into assurance. Let us pray. For companions who accompany us on our journey through life, for this community of faith that supports us, and for guidance during difficult times, that we see the glory of God revealed around us, let us pray. In thankful for the faithful departed who now rest from their earthly pilgrimage, that their lives of service and prayer inspire us in our days, let us pray. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. Been trying to figure out where to put the announcements, so we're going to try it here, okay? Just a few announcements there, and I'm going to ask Dan to come forward here in a moment. This week, on Wednesday, begins our Lenten journey, and our Lenten theme this year is Third Journeys of Faith. But we start with Ash Wednesday on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Prior to that will be a meal that is that will be served at 6. Is that right? 6? 6 o'clock. You'll see the Day of Renewal. That's there for the women of the ELCA. Jerry and Jan, do you have a wedding anniversary? Can we sing to them? Is that legal? Well, I don't know. Is that legal? Will you guys stand up? 57 years. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Jerry and Jan. Happy anniversary to you. Hey, that's good. That's good. This coming Saturday begins the first of a series of Saturday morning workshops, which actually are pretty important, can be pretty important for our congregation because it has to do with the technology, website, and things like that. And I know those things for many it can be kind of intimidating. Dan has been working on setting up an opportunity to teach those who would like to learn about that. So Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you here.
First, I'd like to thank you for all the prayers for my great-grandson and let you know that so far he is doing quite well after his accident. One of the reasons technology is so intimidating is that people assume that they have to eat the whole Apple or the whole Microsoft or whatever. This is not the case. Back in when we were raising our kids, Marilyn was the religion and government editor for the Kokomo Tribune. Those are two parts of what's in a newspaper, just two parts. So what we're going to be doing, and we started it about 3 years ago with our web content, is splitting it up in parts. Lou Anne here has a blog for Malawi. Jane puts the bulletins and the newsletters on the website every month. I do nothing with that except we provided the place for her to put it so you folks can see it. More important than any of that is that the majority of all the people who visit our website are not repeat visitors. They are new visitors. This means we are reaching people who are looking for a church because they're unhappy with their church or they're moving or something like that. So please keep in mind when you read this announcement about our workshop that it is it's little pieces, and we're looking for folks who just need to manage one piece of it. At some point in time, there will be a need for some skills to pull the whole thing together. I hope to be around for a while to help with that, but we also have some people here that I know are darn near ready to do that part of it too, and they just need a little time to free up their time. We do have an incentive for those who are thinking they might not want to participate in this, or they're just technology is too, and that is we're giving away on the fourth session a Google Home Mini, which is much like an Alexa that you can talk to and it will do whatever you want. Only in this case, it's not as likely to accidentally do something you don't want as an Alexa is, because it's not as unlikely to buy something that you don't want. We're going to have a drawing of all the people who complete the web building lessons, and we'll show you how to build your own website. It's no coding involved. We're not going to learn any code. If you know if the terms drag and drop and cut and paste don't absolutely terrify you, you can probably do this. So please think about it. By the way, I know that Saturday mornings are a sacred time for some of you, but keep in mind that evenings are not the time when your professor is all that sharp. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. That's 9:15 on Saturday mornings. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? Otherwise, the other ones you can read at your leisure. I was just noting we got about 12 or 13 minutes. What should we talk about? How are the visits going? The visits are going wonderfully. I just love them. It's a great way to get to know the congregation here. And we've made what I think we made around 50 or so visits so far. And so we're on a good pace with that, and look forward to seeing those of you who I have not been in your homes or in my office or whatever. What?
I forgot to mention there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex.
There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. Is it on the table by the font there?
Yes, it's a sign-up sheet on the left.
Okay, thank you, Dan. We still got 10 minutes. What's that?
The good dessert places to visit. You always say no food, but
I've not had. Everybody has honored that. There we go. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. Ian, come here. You gonna do it? Oh, come on. Yes, Dan.
I can give them one more tidbit. If all you want to do is learn how to better use our website on your phone, Lou Ann and Darren are going to be in our workshops to help you do that.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to let class out a little bit early. Okay. So go in peace. Serve the Lord.